Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome. Episode 64 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. It is official. Mother Nature hates NASCAR, apparently. We had one of the best Xfinity races of the season Saturday afternoon and would have been awesome for the fans at the track on TV to be able to watch the feature on Sunday, but not so much. Mother Nature had different plans for us. Sucks for the PETM guys. Those guys cannot catch a break with going to a track and it not raining. I was joking with Sherwin the other day. I told him he brings that stuff to Michigan and we're going to be fighting because he's coming up to hang out with Lap Traffic for the June race at MIS. So he better leave the rain in Atlanta. It was crazy. This storm, man, it stretched from frickin' Florida up to Michigan. We had ice and rainstorms here all weekend. Cars covered with ice. Trees were cracking in half. Normally, we are the first to lose power in Berkeley. And fortunately, we were spared. But most of Berkeley was without power Saturday, Sunday. Even into today, I think people were just starting to get power back. So this was a crazy storm that moved across the country. Really, that said, hope you guys had a good weekend. We did get some racing in on Saturday. We'll get to that in a little bit. Monday, I tried to watch / listen at work, and I made it to about 150 go and had to stop. And I was able to stay in the bubble. I did not go on Twitter most of Monday afternoon. I sent some tweets out, but that was about it. I had Lindsay text me when the race was over, had her check on TV just so I knew when to tweet out about the lucky dog and lap down picks. But I was able to stay in the bubble till I got home Monday and was able to finish the race then. That said, I got another good show lined up for you guys. An awesome interview with Xfinity driver Matt Tiff coming up for you guys here in a little bit. Going to recap Bristol, where are we at on this contest giveaway. Aaron, of course, will be on a little later to talk about this crazy weather we had. And can we get a full weekend of racing in at Richmond? He'll give us a scoop on that. Wave around hotline, fantasy, who's in the lead? We're halfway through segment one. Who is winning in the Lap Traffic Fantasy? And, of course, the picks at the end of the show. That said, huge props again to all of you for helping to spread word about the show and listening. Really appreciate it. Means the world. That said, let's get into it. Let's talk some racing. All right, so we are still a few weeks away before the trucks return, May 4th at Dover. Man, that can't come soon enough. I know those guys are itching to get back to the track, and I look forward to seeing the trucks here in a few weeks. So Friday evening, I had the opportunity to record an interview with Matt Tiff for you guys. So seems like an appropriate spot to drop that in here before I talk about the Xfinity race. You're going to hear get to hear Matt talk about last week's run at Texas and how he gets mentally prepared for Bristol, a foundation near and dear to his heart. So this was recorded shortly after the second Xfinity practice Friday afternoon at Bristol. So that was pretty cool. So here we go from Friday, Mr. Matt Tiff. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, driver of the number 2 National Brain Tumor Society Chevy Camaro, Mr. Matt Tiff. Matt, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks for taking some time. I know you just got off the track there a little bit ago at Bristol. So let's talk about your background a little bit. I know you got started in Ohio, just a few hours away from me in Metro Detroit, and some go-kart racing. You also raced for BJ, who's been on the show a couple times and an awesome guy. You got some truck experience in there. Can you go in a little more detail on your racing background?
Yeah, for sure. So I grew up around racing. There's really like dirt late models in Michigan, and then yeah, I grew up in Ohio, so, you know, went to the local go-kart track, and they had a tryout there, and so I started out doing go-kart racing and got hooked on it for a while there and ran regional and national stuff with it, and then decided to try to make the move to late models, so went down to the New Smyrna Speedway there, and they had a driving school for super late models, and That's where I met BJ McLeod. And so, you know, they kind of taught you how to drive a stock car. And so I did that when I was 13, and then drove in the, you know, speed weeks in a super late model. And so I drove down there a little bit, drove up in the ASA Midwest Tour, and then eventually made the switch to K&N and ARCA. So, you know, just basically got to the point where we're kind of looking for people in the industry, and got hooked up from somebody at Wintron with Ken Schrader, and you know, just kind of hit the ball and got rolling with it from there. And you know, just kind of my career took off at that point. So it's been really fun, you know, to see how far everything has come. But you know, just trying to plug away and keep at it here in my second year in the Xfinity Series.
Well, it's funny you say that. That leads me to my next one. So you are in your second full-time season in the Xfinity Series, racing with RCR. You're with JGR last year. Can you talk about the transition from one big team to another? You know, what was your off-season like? What was your team building experiences like in such a short period of time?
Yeah, I mean, that was probably the most stressful part, was, you know, just getting everything set up and going, and just all the behind the scenes stuff. You know, it's just so much that you got to do. And one of the biggest things for me was, you know, going to JGR wasn't that tough because I was already in the Toyota camp with KBM and with Red Horse. So yep. it was pretty easy to get, you know, my seats over there. Everybody kind of had the same access to stuff because I ran a Kyle Busch insert, basically. So, you know, just getting my own stuff over there, getting comfortable in the cockpit. You know, I took through Daytona and Atlanta to perfect it. But ever since then, it's been pretty easy. But, you know, just getting everything set up from the marketing side and the sponsorship side and business development side. And there's a lot of work that goes to get these cars on track and try to keep this thing going from a sponsor perspective. And, you know, I've been trying to step up a lot of things on my social media outlets this year, on Instagram, that kind of stuff. So trying to get better with all that. And, you know, it's just I think being with a new team kind of gives me a new opportunity to sort of reintroduce myself as a driver in the series. And, you know, we've had a great year so far. And I think it's, you know, it's just kind of complimentary, that stuff, to it at this point. But, you know, I've really enjoyed it, and I'm definitely very happy where I'm at right now.
That's awesome. You know, you mentioned, you know, kind of some of the obligations and stuff. And I sometimes forget when, you know, I'm sitting on the couch watching the race as a fan, that it's not just drivers and the team showing up at the track, you know, Friday for practice, qualifying, and racing Saturday and Sunday. As a driver, you know, your time is very precious in terms of what you guys have to go out and do, from, you know, landing the sponsors and you know, the marketing and things of that nature. Can you touch upon that a little bit? Like what your Monday to Thursday is like, basically, when you're not at the track?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Sunday is typically the day off, but even there, you know, I'm trying to get some sort of a cycling thing, or, you know, some sort of physical activity in, and then I'll usually take the whole afternoon and evening off. But we'll get rolling Monday morning, and I'll get my workouts in with Blake Cook. And then after that, I'll quickly change and go get lunch and head up to Welcome, North Carolina, from Huntersville. So it's about an hour drive, and go up there for a competition meeting. And we kind of go over all the stuff that happened, you know, what worked, what didn't over the last weekend. And on Sunday, I'm also filling out a driver debrief form. So still active on Sunday, you know, sure, just trying to get the summary of everything happened. We kind of break down the whole race and, you know, just everything from my side to the team side of what we can do better. And, you know, so we'll talk about that for a while on Mondays. And then, you know, that's normally from 1:30 till about 3, and then hang around with guys in the shop for a little bit. And then try to go to the cup shop and talk to them for a little while, you know, with a sponsor and marketing people up there, and just get, you know, kind of a synopsis of what the week is going to look like from a PR standpoint, what kind of events or shows we're going to, or whatever we're doing. You know, it just happens so quick, and we have so many interviews and stuff through the week. So, so we'll do that, and then I'll head home. And by that time, it's about 6 o'clock, and it's time to get dinner and kind of relax with a girlfriend and the dog. And then Tuesday, I'll go in the morning, and I'll get acupuncture treatment done. I've done that for a while now.
No kidding.
I really like it. Yeah, I really like it. It's something very different, but I think it's definitely good just for keeping my energy up and trying to keep my body healthy throughout the season. And Tuesday afternoons, I'll typically go work out again, and then I'll try and start gathering some information together for the week. We kind of have a driver debrief sheet, like a preview sheet. So we'll kind of see what's coming up in the week. And so we'll go through that. Wednesday is, again, training and watching film. Yeah. And then Thursday is, kind of getting the final things with the team of what we're going to be doing the next day. And, because the next day is practice day.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Thursday night's just kind of, maybe running a few laps on the simulator or something like that. And shoot, Friday morning, we're back at it.
It sounds like the weeks just probably fly by. Days of the week just start running together.
Yeah. It was Wednesday this week, and I was like, holy crap, I thought it was just Sunday. Like, it just flies by. And I love it, but it's definitely time consuming, and you definitely appreciate the off weeks, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet. All right, so you got a nice little momentum going. You came off your third top 10 with a sixth place finish at Texas. Can you recap Texas a little bit before we get into Bristol?
Yeah. So, that was a really good performance at Texas. We had really good speed off the truck in practice. And so that was cool to see. And then, we unfortunately were not able to make it around, to be able to go qualify. So we started at the back of the field and made it up into the top 10 for the first stage. And then, we were running around there and had an issue, with a part on our car that, we got resolved, but we kind of dropped back to about 30th or something, and then worked our way back into the top five there on older tires and some guys. So held on and, made a green flag stops and ended up sixth for the day. So I definitely thought it was a day that we needed as far as speed. We didn't need the mistakes in there and things like that to happen. So we're kind of in a place now for the mile and a half program where I feel like from Atlanta to Texas, we've come a long, long ways.
That's awesome. It just seemed like everybody had issues at Texas, whether we're talking Cup, Xfinity. It seemed like everybody was extremely loose than what you would have normally expected. Maybe the temperatures had something to do with that a little bit, but it definitely just felt like an odd race weekend from a fan perspective watching on TV.
Yeah, it was. And I think the temperature shift from Friday to Saturday is, for sure the biggest I've seen. I know my motor guy said it was the biggest shift since 1987.
Wow.
So, it's pretty wild. We ended final practice, it was 86 degrees. When we went to qualify, it was 36, and with the wind chill, it was 19. Yeah. So it was pretty
cold.
Amazing the difference there.
Yeah. So we're talking here Friday afternoon. You're at the track at Bristol. You've had two practice sessions today, seventh in the first session and 13th in the second. How's the car? What kind of changes you guys looking to make and heading into qualifying?
Well, I think right now we've been okay so far this weekend at Bristol. By no means has this been my best track, but I feel like this is a weekend, with it being a Dust for Cash weekend and no Cup guys, that we can kind of capitalize on a good weekend and be able to come out of here with our first top five of the year. So that's the goal. And I think right now the 21 car has shown a lot of speed. We're kind of comparing notes right now, just before we were speaking of what they've been doing better. And we're going to try some different setups here to be able to, hopefully match the speed that their car has shown. So if we can do that and match it, I think we'll be really good. And, so much of this place just comes down to where the VHT is, how much it's going to widen out, whether the top comes in or not. And ultimately, track position and qualifying is key. So tomorrow morning will be very interesting to see, where everything kind of falls out for grip. And it can just change your day so much at Bristol.
How do you get yourself mentally prepared for a track like Bristol, where you are constantly, it's not like you can ever let off easy at any track, but definitely at a short track like Bristol, you've got to be 100% on your mental game out there for each lap.
Yeah, I think the crazy thing about Bristol now is since they put this VHT stuff on the track, it is 300 qualifying laps. Right. Like you will not have a more chaotic, exhausting, intense race than you do at Bristol. And the strange thing about it is, in the grand scheme of things, you know, Bristol is, you know, this is what, the seventh or eighth race of the year. It's a short track race, kind of the first one of that. And then we come back here in the fall and it's not a points paying race. So in a way you kind of go, well, it doesn't really matter. But then, you know, if you looked at it in any other place, you go, okay, well, you know, if you have a bad weekend, it's a bad weekend. But, you know, it's Bristol. It's probably, you know, one of the biggest races that we have. And to say that you've won at Bristol can absolutely define your career. So it's amazing when you come into this place because it's just so unlike any other. And, you know, just it puts on such a good fan, a show for the fans. And as drivers, you're just, your tongue's hanging out of your mouth and you got to remember to breathe. It's so tough. But, you know, it's just, it's a tough, tough place. And this whole VHT thing is so hard to grasp because you just never know what it does. And it's so temperature sensitive. So,
sure. Yep.
It throws in so many more variables than you'd have, you know, with the older surface here.
Yeah. All right. One last one here. You got a new partnership with the National Brain Tumor Society. You want to talk and tell everyone a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, you know, I wouldn't say it's a new one. I've been working with them for a couple of years, but obviously glad to have them back on board, you know, again for Richmond. And, you know, I've done a lot of work partnering with those guys. And what's really unique about them is we get to do all kinds of events that really are promoting research and advocacy and awareness for brain tumors. So
awesome.
A couple weeks ago in Charlotte, we had a 5K. I participated in that last year and we raised about $135,000. And this year we raised over $165,000. So
nice.
Really proud to say that. But then we will also be in one of my off weeks on May 8th. We're going to Washington, D.C. and we'll be heading to an event called Head to the Hill. And so we'll actually be talking to congressmen and women from North Carolina and Ohio, kind of the two states I represent as a survivor from, and basically lobbying them for a bill that is going through. We got it to pass through the Senate last year, and we'll be trying to get it to pass through the House this year. So it's the Childhood Cancer STAR Act, and so it's basically promoting more research grants and opportunities for brain tumor research to be funded. And the scary and crazy part about it is, you know, I had a certain type of brain tumor, but yep. There's over 140 different types of brain tumors, and there's, you know, five different grades for each of those, and there's only four drugs that are available.
Wow.
For all of those. So, you know, for the number one pediatric, you know, childhood cancer killer of any disease in the United States, that's pretty unacceptable. So definitely trying to push to change that. And you know, obviously the fruits of our efforts have been shown so far with it getting through the Senate, and we'll try to get it through the House. So that's the other strange kind of cool stuff we have going on. But I'm certainly really proud to be a part of that.
Dude, I got goosebumps. That's awesome, man. That's very exciting. And that just goes to show how awesome everyone within the sport is. So congratulations on that. That's real big.
Oh, thank you very much. No, I appreciate that.
Matt, tell everyone where they can follow you.
Yeah. So if you go on Twitter or Instagram, it's @Matt_Tift, T-I-F-F-T. And it's Matt Tift on Facebook as well. And I don't have Snapchat, so don't try to Snapchat me because you probably are sending it to somebody else. So, but seriously, give me a follow on there. And, you know, I try to do as much as I can on the social stuff to kind of give a little sort of, I guess, example of or clips of my life. So hope it's interesting. Hope you like it. And I definitely appreciate you having me on the podcast today.
Appreciate it, man. Everyone, big thanks to Matt Tift, driver of the number two National Brain Tumor Society Chevrolet Camaro with RCR. Matt, thanks for the time. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. We'll see ya.
Well,
that was very cool for Matt to take some time at the track to give a call. That was something a little different, being able to do an interview with the driver while they're at the track. Tough day for Matt on Saturday. Not the finish they were obviously looking for with a 35th, but I'm sure that they will rebound. So, speaking of Saturday, let's talk about the Bristol Xfinity race, the Dash for Cash race at Bristol. No Cup guys, man, and what a race that was. Christopher Bell winning stage one, Ryan Preece winning stage two, and getting the checkered flag. So first off, how awesome. We had two lanes of racing. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. We had a caution-filled race, 12 yellows, 93 laps. But, you know, personally to me, it really didn't feel like 93 laps because the racing was so good. I think if the racing on the track is good, it doesn't matter and you're not paying attention to how many caution laps because of the quality of racing that you're getting during the green flag racing. So it really didn't feel like 93 caution laps to me. Definitely felt like the Bristol of old. Much like last week, though, didn't take long for the cautions to start flying. Lap five, Clemens, Grala, Briscoe getting into it. You know, it's we talk about, you know, the Daytona gimmick racing, if you will, with plate racing and all that kind of stuff. Cars getting tore up at Bristol. That's Bristol. That's a product of the track itself. It's not manipulating the racing. So it's I don't want to say it's more encouraged or welcome because that's definitely not the thought that I have with that. But I guess you expect it because of the racing that you're getting on the track is going to cause that, not because of the byproduct of how they manipulate the cars with the restrictor plate, if that makes any sense. Definitely had some beating and banging with John Hunter Nemechek and Elliott Sadler. You know, that's product of short track racing, and that's what we all want. That's what we've been screaming for. I could not have been happier with the racing that we got to watch Saturday. Second stage, again, just like the first stage last week, and the first stage this week, didn't get too far into the second stage without getting a caution. Tommy Joe Martin's, Ty Majeski, Justin Allgaier. It's hard to check up at a track like Bristol. Definitely had aggressive racing. You know, short track racing. Everyone knows a Cup guy isn't there. The Cup guy isn't going to be able to take this one from the Xfinity class. So everyone was out there fighting per position and just trying to make a name for themselves, which that's what you want. That's what we all want, and we got it. After that wreck, let's see, we had a long green flag stretch in stage two until about 30 to go, when a tough break for Chris Bell, trying to check up and could not avoid the, no pun intended, lap traffic, slid door first. There was just nothing he could do. I mean, it was just hold on and you know, close your eyes, basically, the way he had to check up. And, you know, like I said, there was nothing he could really do there. Couldn't get more than a few laps in a stage three before the 98 of Briscoe run around for the 10th caution. Then we had a 10-lap shootout to end the race, and the Dash for Cash driver, Ryan Preece, wins the Dash and the race, which was very cool. A couple honorable mentions have to go out to Shane Lee, hanging up front all day in his first Xfinity race, handling himself perfectly until about 15 to go, slid up the track, but still able to bring it home 14th. That's awesome. I'm sure Bristol is now his favorite track. Let's see, the Dash for Cash drivers, Bell obviously had a rough day, hit the wall early at the start of the race, was able to get back up into the top 10, win stage one, but then gets caught up in the wreck and finishes 29th. Hemric finishes third, Custer finishes eighth, and Ryan Preece gets the win, which is very cool. Man, I just can't get over how awesome that race was Saturday afternoon. And the Dash for Cash returns. It's back this weekend at Richmond. It would have been Hemric, but his car failed post-race inspection, so he's ineligible for the Dash for Cash this weekend. And it also would have been race winner Ryan Preece, but he's not entered for this weekend. So the Dash for Cash lineup is Elliott Sadler, Spencer Gallagher, Justin Allgaier, and Brennan Jones, which I expect those guys to be battling up front all day at Richmond, just like the Dash for Cash guys did this weekend at Bristol. That said, we get our first of the double night race weekend at Richmond. Friday night, the Xfinity guys will be on the track battling it out. I am looking very forward to that. All right, over to the 24 hours of Bristol for the cup racing. Brad Kay winning stage one and two, and Kyle Busch bringing home his second win in a row. We were able to take the green on Sunday afternoon about 1:30, which, to be honest, I was surprised. I didn't think they were going to start on time, if at all, Sunday. Much like the Xfinity race, big wreck early on lap five between Byron Truex and Dinger. And it's just not easy to check up. Like I said a few seconds ago with the Xfinity race, you know, it bottlenecks. That's what happened in turn one. That happened and caused AJ Allmendinger to spin. So it is a challenge to check up, especially when the racing is the way it was, that old school racing at Bristol. It is difficult to check up. Years past, it was a little bit easier because we didn't have the racing style the way it was this past weekend, which is why years, probably the last 3 to 5 years, we didn't see nearly as many cautions as we did this weekend. And it's because they finally got the compound right. And it was effective. And I think everybody had a good time on the track and a good time watching. Mother Nature brought out the yellow lap 47, which was very lucky for Jimmy Johnson, who had a flat tire going down. Johnson had his best race of the season at Bristol here this past week. If not for that caution coming out when it did, we may still be talking about the struggles of the 48 team. So very lucky that caution came out when it did. Went back to green around lap 60 after a 30-minute delay. And finally, around lap 100, we started to see that high line, that second groove come into play. We got bump and run started early stage one, which was very cool. Big wreck with 9 to go between McMurray, Blaney, and the 37. You know, the way that wreck happened, I swore I was watching a replay of Chris Bell at the Xfinity race on Saturday. It was almost an identical wreck, sliding door first from having to check up from, again, no pun intended, lap traffic. Again, Brad Keselowski gets the win for stage one. Stage two, 30 laps. Green flag is the sixth spins and brings out his second caution. There was a lot of chatter going on about how... let's just say, for lack of better words, irresponsible, perhaps, the six was driving. What else we have here? Mother Nature strikes again during stage two, lap 165. I was actually surprised the restart after that caution came out during stage two. The restart was clean, and the racing was pretty clean for the most part. I think at that point, most people were just hoping to be able to get to lap 250 to be able to call it on Sunday. So I was expecting a lot more cautions there when they went back to green during stage two. Didn't get that. It stayed pretty clean. Let's see. Kurt Busch, my God, he had the save of the day during stage two. He almost probably collected about 15 cars if he had not been able to keep that car tucked down on the stretch there. That was a hell of a save by Kurt Busch. And that pretty much ended stage two for Sunday. Monday started in a rain delay as well. They put some more traction control sticky stuff down, if you will, and they got back going green a lap 205. You know, it's crazy. They were 45 laps shy, only 22 and a half miles shy of being able to call that race Sunday. You know, from a fan perspective, obviously you want to see them race, but I can't imagine how much it costs NASCAR, the teams, and the track for 22 miles. That's probably the most expensive 22 miles combined that NASCAR, the teams, and the track had to pay for. So from that regard, it's unfortunate the amount of money that had to get wasted for that, because Mother Nature obviously hates NASCAR. But we went back green with 34 to go in stage two. And how about Bad Brad putting a bump and run on Larson with 7 to go to win stage two? Let's see. Let's talk the final stage here. Relatively early in that final stage, we had some nice back and forth battling for the lead with Brad, Larson, Johnson. Larson, who dominated and had a dominating car. Got turned around when he cut down on the track on the 31, who got into his rear quarter panel. I definitely think Larson cut down in front of him a little too soon. I'm not sure. I didn't have his obviously, I was at work, so I was watching it when I got home. So I don't know if he was told he was clear or what there, but he definitely cut down a little too early there. Sorensen spins, brings out the 11th caution. Another big race full of cautions. Another rain caution with 110 to go. Keselowski, who had a dominant first two stages tire issue, brings out the caution with 30 laps to go. We had some great side-by-side racing with the 42 and the 17. Who would have thought that, right? Bump and run by the 18 on the 42 with 5 to go to bring it home for his second win. I definitely hope Keselowski gets sent some flowers by Kyle Busch. Jimmy Johnson, Bowman, get the best 1-2 finish for HMS this season. Jimmy definitely had his best performance, probably his best car all year, showing a little speed, being able to get out of the gas a little quicker, and being a contender. But like I said, we may be talking a different story about Jimmy Johnson if not for the caution coming out on Sunday when he had a tire going down. Larson being able to rebound after that spin and bringing it home second. Some shout-outs to Landon Castle bringing it home 20th. Matt D, 21st. How about Eric Almirola with a 6th-place finish and Bubba Wallace finishing 16th? And tough break for some guys we wouldn't have expected it from. Keselowski, who finished 23rd. Chase Elliott, 29th. I know that was a big shock for people. Truex, 30th. And Casey Kane, 34th. Over to the standings. Kyle Busch has a 59-point lead over Joey Logano and 75-point lead over Kevin Harvick. Kind of surprised that some of the people may be in the standings for Cup. Maybe. Should we be surprised that Paul Menard is holding on to that last spot in 16th? Is anyone shocked about Ryan Newman? Probably not. Austin Dillon in 14th? Maybe. Eric Jones, nope, good there. And Eric Almirola in 11th. Kurt Busch in 10th. Kevin Harvick, Clint Bowyer, all of SHR are in the top 16 right now, which I'm an SHR fan, so I'm happy with that. All right, let's see. What should we do next? How about a little weather? All right, back as he is each and every week from raceweather.net on the web. Make sure you check that out for up-to-date race weather updates for this coming weekend, and make sure you follow him on Twitter at Race Weather. Mr. Aaron Studwell, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing well, sir. Yourself?
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. All right, so we got to talk about this crazy storm that not only hit Bristol, but basically moved from across the entire country. We got it up here in Michigan. It was an ice and rainstorm down here. It was crazy.
Yeah, Bristol, I want to say it, racing aside, got off kind of light.
Okay.
They got rain, tornadoes, not that far away in North Carolina. That severe weather all went all the way down to South Carolina, all the way down to Florida. It really was a very strong, it's kind of oddly structured system. You know, we were talking before, and it went across Michigan, and you said how much snow they got up north?
They got around 17 inches up there. It was crazy.
Oh. That is crazy. And then I know you guys kind of ice rainstorm down on the D.
Yeah. Again, today I woke up and had to clean off the car, and the Tigers are supposed to play today. I don't know. They've had more canceled games in the first, I think, 15 games than they had all year last year. Like, there's no baseball being played right now.
And again, tomorrow for you.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow night, another 1-2.
Yeah. It's crazy, man.
And that is a system that's going to kind of clear things out for Richmond. Let's go back to Bristol real quick.
All right.
Friday, Saturday were nice. And we kind of – I'm surprised. You know, we talked about the forecast last weekend. We kind of looked and we saw a chance of rain on Sunday. We've actually done pretty well with this season. We got more racing in Sunday than I would have thought.
I was shocked that race started at 1:30.
And it, for everybody who complained, moving it up an hour – may have been the best thing they could have done.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, they're never going to move it in a night. They're never going to move it a whole day. But moving it up an hour, they got more in. Their showers were more scattered than I would have thought. They got almost the end of stage two. I'm kind of glad they didn't get the end of stage two, so we saw a full race yesterday. And the rain continued till about 11 o'clock Sunday night. System clears out. Monday, we come back. 1 o'clock start, which was probably best because they had more showers earlier in the day.
Yep.
And I say showers of wintry mix. We had rain, sleet, and snow reported at the track. And these are people I trust reporting in saying, hey, we got rain, sleet, and snow here. It's on Monday. Going back to Sunday real quick, I've got sources who said they probably should not have been racing at times. So this people within NASCAR and people I trust, again, with a source, it was they probably should have not raced at some points on Sunday. They just NASCAR wanted to push it and get it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing I talked about a little bit ago. When they officially pulled the cars off the track the last time on Sunday, they had 22 miles to go and they would have been at halfway. So I was just, I couldn't imagine the amount of money that it cost the teams, the track, NASCAR, for 22 miles. Granted, us as fans obviously want to get as much racing in as possible. You know, but just the mere fact that no one was at that track, no one was going to be able to watch the race on Monday afternoon. That was probably a very expensive 22 miles.
Yeah, well, at least, like we were saying, we got all the race in, good competitive racing. I thought I was happy to see a lot of different leaders. It was, you know, people go up lead, then you see them, where are they now? Back at 12.
Yep.
What the heck?
Yep.
You could just get on the outside line and just, like the old style of being freight trained there.
Yes. Yeah, you had old school bump and run style racing, multiple leaders. You know, people were complaining about, you know, the amount of cars not being on the lead lap. You know, that's something you complain about at a mile and a half track. When the racing was the quality of racing that it was, for the lead, not, you know, we try to talk sometimes about, oh, well, there was great leads for 13th and 14th on back. Well, that's because we're not able to talk about the lead at the front. We were able to talk about multiple lead changes at the front, which was awesome.
Yeah, it was nice to see the bump and run back. And it was nice to see nobody really, truly dumped, but it was very nice. Light tap. Oh, you're loose. Oh, I'm going to go inside you now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right.
So you want to look ahead to Richmond?
Yes. What do we got?
We've got some nice weather on tap. We're going to have a little bit of a storm system move across from the Great Plains. Across the Great Lakes can bring, like I said earlier, you're going to get a little bit more snow tomorrow night. In Detroit and across the Great Lakes states. But that cold front's going to go across Richmond on Thursday morning. Big high-pressure center going to come across the eastern third of the U.S. Cold Canadian air Friday, Saturday. Anything going on in the day, sunny skies, clear skies at night, it will be cooler. Normal highs for Richmond, 73 for the high, 48 for the low. We're looking at low to mid-60s on both Friday and Saturday. Upper 30s. On both Friday and Saturday mornings.
Ooh.
So, and windy on Friday with 14-mile-an-hour winds. So you're going to see the wind chills. If anything's going on, I don't know the on-track schedule offhand. Anything's going on, but say before 10, it's going to be, the wind chill's going to be in the upper 20s, low 30s.
They have, I mean, even at Phoenix, Las Vegas, it's been unseasonably cooler temperatures at all of the tracks they've been to.
I know. Yeah, race time for both races, it looked like mid-50s. Clear skies. Weather does not look like it'll be an issue this weekend. It looks like a great weekend for racing.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. And just so everybody knows, next week, episode 65, Mr. Aaron Studwell is going to co-host the whole show. So I'm looking very forward to that. So, sir, we will talk to you over the next couple of days, I'm sure, and look forward to having you on next week.
I'm really excited about next week. It's going to be a lot of fun and just a lot of things we've wanted to talk about and talk some NASCAR and a little bit else.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. Have a good week, man.
Thanks. You too.
We'll see you.
Bye.
All right. Always a pleasure to have Aaron on and looking forward to having him on for the whole show next week. All right. Over to some social media, everyone. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you give a follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Make sure you're subscribed, auto-download on iTunes, Podbean, TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, Stitcher, you name it, you can find it out there. And I am so excited. I am very happy to announce a new affiliation with Sports Radio Detroit. Go give them a follow on Twitter at Sports Radio DET. Check out their website, sportsradiodetroit.com. You will find the Lap Traffic podcast there, along with some awesome Detroit sports shows, including their latest Tigers podcast. So make sure you go check out at Sports Radio Detroit, where hashtag no formats given. Really excited to partner up with those guys to help spread word about the show and to help spread word about some Detroit sports podcasting and stuff like that going on. All right, how's the giveaway going? It's going awesome. We are slowly creeping our way up. If you missed the show last week, at 5,000 followers, I am giving away a rear quarter panel off a Richard Petty car from Eric Almirola. It's got the green ethanol spot on there. It's got a beautiful STP logo on it. It's got what else on there? It's got an Air Force logo, and it's got a big tire mark. This car was definitely involved in a wreck. It is a cool piece, and I am looking very forward to giving that away at 5,000 Twitter followers. So make sure you tell your friends, retweet it when you see it. We'll do some, or I'll do some smaller giveaways in the meantime to kind of inch it away, because that could take a while to get to 5,000. I know it's a little lofty. So the next big milestone is 3,000. So we'll figure something out for that. Some new shout outs to some new followers. Josh Givens at the Bearded Racer on Twitter, big Kyle Busch fan. JJ Wilson at JJ Wilson 18 from Virginia, loves NASCAR and WWE, so obviously we are best friends. Will Johnston from Arkansas, loves NASCAR, welcome to the show. Nathan Thompson at MMF fan 55 from Oklahoma, big Joey Logano fan. Cody Lamas at XX Team 48 Lowe's XX from Cooper City, Florida. I think he's a Jimmy Johnson fan. I am not sure, though. Don't forget, on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com, is a picture of the Amazon logo. Click that for all your Amazon purchases. It'll help support the show. And on the website, of course, some T-shirts, $15 Lap Traffic T-shirt, color sizes aplenty. New stickers and koozies. I've got them. I've sent a bunch out. If you want a Lap Traffic sticker and a koozie, just go to the website, fill out the contact page with your address, and I will send you one for free. And when you get it, the only requirement is you got to tweet me a picture of it so I can put it on the website. If you've got any fan mail, the Lap Traffic Podcast, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. And with that said, it's time for everybody's favorite segment. It's time for some lucky dogs, and it's time to fire up the Wave Around Hotline. Let's get your lucky dog and lap down picks from Bristol. The official Wave Around Hotline number is 248-965-9538. Let's get to some calls. Lap Traffic, who's this?
Out of left field, who's this?
Andrew, what's up, brother? How are you?
What's up, man? How's it going?
I'm great. How are you?
Just another day, man.
Excellent. All right, so you said it. Out of left field, tell everyone about the podcast, man.
Yeah, man, we started up, well, me and a buddy of mine started up our own podcast where we just get in front of a mic and kind of shoot the shit for pretty much an hour.
Hence the name, right?
We are currently, out of left field, because everything we talk about is completely out of left field. And we haven't recorded in a while because of some schooling, scheduling issues. But
gets in the
way.
When
we record again, there's going to be some, yeah, it does. But when we get a chance to finally get back in the studio, which our studio changes every week, there's going to be some interesting topics. And I highly suggest everyone check that one out.
You've got a couple up now, though, right?
Yeah, we got three on right now. Currently, nice. We're aiming for, I think, 2 weeks. Hopefully, it'll be the next episode.
Excellent. All right, let's get to some picks. Who or what is your lucky dog from Bristol?
A lot of stuff, man. I can't just think of one. We saw some good stuff yesterday.
Yes, we did.
That's the 24 hours in Bristol. So. Between that and the Xfinity race, I saw some good stuff. really not much to complain about for once, for me at least.
Right?
Yeah.
all right. How about lap down?
I'm going to go with McDowell. I reckon the 9 for probably the third time in the past, I don't know how many years, every time Chase wrecked because of McDowell. So there's that one too.
Nice. Excellent. Well, sir.
Yeah, man.
Pleasure as always.
Yeah, man. No problem.
All right. You make sure call in. Absolutely. And good luck with the show, and make sure you keep me posted on that.
No problem, man. Thanks. Have a good one.
Absolutely. We'll see you. Bye. Well, unfortunately, a little light on the wave around hotline tonight. No big deal. I know it can be a pain. Sometimes you probably just don't see my tweets. That said, looking for ways to improve the interaction with the show. Looking at maybe doing a show dedicated just to fan call-ins to talk about whatever you want. So that's an option. Also looking at maybe leaving or letting you guys be able to leave voicemails on the Wave Around hotline, and I could just play your messages. So you guys know not to be shy on Twitter, so shoot me a tweet, send me an email. If you got an idea, let me know. That said, let's get to some tweeted responses. Mick at GoDucks42 underscore Mick, who, by the way, is a new grandfather. So congratulations to Mick. His lucky dog, Kyle Busch, he was dropping like a rock and then got the save from his best friend forever, Brad Keselowski. Lap down the weather. Ben at Gumby61184's lucky dog, Kyle. If Kaz doesn't bring out the caution, he's toast. Lap down. Fox's camera work on the winning pass. Let us watch it happen live where we see both cars involved in the race lead. Scott at 1985 Wagner's lucky dog, Paul Menard's tire carrier equals stud level to the max. Lapped down, Mother Nature. David at DFlint14's lucky dog, Gibson, filling in for and getting a sixth place finish with Eric Almirola. Couldn't agree more there. Lap down hypocritical fans who say they didn't like the race despite getting exactly what they asked for. Noah at N. Dunstia is lucky dog, the 18 for his second in a row. Lap down has to be Ricky Stenhouse. He should have taken two tires on that last stop, so he could have gotten a better chance at winning. Jeff at Gray Wolf Pack 5's lucky dog. The coming of the Mustang to Cup next year. Absolutely, that's going to be awesome. Jeff says the number 4 freaky fast Mustang just sounds better. I agree with that, too. Lap down, Andy Petrie for saying RCR is fine with the new air guns. Just wait, it will get them, and we'll see how fine it is. And last but not least, John at Dean Ader's lucky dog, Bowman, starting to showman what he's got. Lap down, Chase wanted to see the Baja Blast paint scheme up front. Thank you to everyone for sending in your picks. Make sure you continue to do that and interact on Twitter. That said, let's talk some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Keep up the interaction on Twitter. And let's see how you guys did this week. Week high was by last week's guest, the MOATF podcast. Listen, Live Traffic Nation, we cannot let the MOATF podcast continue to get weekly high points. They're moving up in the standings, which that just cannot happen. So continue to pound and plug away, because I can't lose to another podcast. So that said, the MOATF guys scored 101 points with Kyle Busch and Daniel Hemric. That was the week high. It was followed by Colby McLamb getting 99 points with Larson and Hemric. Top 10 in standings, Chloe Yunker is holding on to a thin 1-point lead over Tommy Witt in second with 842. Paul Hollenbeck is in third with 830. Weatherman Aaron Studwell up to fourth with 803. John Elliott's in fifth with 792. Andrew Kansian is in sixth with 783. Tasha Snook in seventh with 775. The MOATF podcast is in eighth with 773. Mick Rose up to ninth with 766. And John Ettensweil is in 10th, wrapping it out with 764. It's almost halfway over for stage one. So fear not if you're down the bottom like I am in Florida. We're going to reset them here soon. That said, it is time for the picks. This week, we head to Richmond, where Joey Logano won the race last year, was deemed encumbered, and failed to make the playoffs, and NASCAR Chasm had to make good on a tattoo bet. He, without question, will be looking for redemption. Runner-up at Bristol this week, Kyle Larson won the fall race. Does our recent bridesmaid become the bride this weekend at Richmond? Jimmy Johnson hasn't won a Richmond race since 2008. Can he carry his momentum from Bristol to victory lane at Richmond? The first night race of the year, always exciting. Let's see who I have to pick, because you should definitely not take them. I am riding the Christopher Bell train. Looked strong last week until he got caught up in lapped traffic. I look for him to get to victory lane at Richmond. I am staying on the C-Bell train. Over to Cup, I'm going with Chloe Yunker's favorite driver. Joey Logano gets redemption at Richmond. Those are the picks. Don't forget to send yours in if you're playing in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. Keep up the conversation on Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Oh, the fantasy battle is heating up and getting crazy. I absolutely love it. All right, that is going to do it. That's a wrap for episode 64 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. It was a blast, as always. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Don't forget to submit your fantasy picks. Continue to retweet for the contest giveaway. Huge thanks to Matt Tift from RCR for calling in. Big thanks to everyone for sending in their lucky dog and lap down picks. Next week, Aaron Studwell, everyone's favorite weather guy, is going to be with me for the whole show. It's going to be fun. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. See ya!